I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ben Solak is an NFL analyst at ESPN. He was part of a podcast recently talking about the Ravens roster construction, and we wanted to talk to him about that. But, of course, since we asked him to come on, the Ravens have fired their head coach. They're looking for a head coach now as John Harbaugh is free to look elsewhere. So let's bring in Ben Solak from ESPN now. And Ben, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. So let's start with the John Harbaugh firing, just your reaction to that, and where do you think they go from here?
Yeah, I was surprised. I heard the noise like everybody else, you know, the storm clouds on the horizon like everybody else. But you don't often see these things actually come to a head and end up with a split, especially for a coach who has been over his career as successful and who is, you know, in the NFL so nicely regarded as Harbaugh is. Now, I think as the days fall by and the weeks go by, we're going to hear more and more about some of the fractured relationships there in the locker room, and this is going to make more sense. But I was surprised. Now, there's a lot of different paths you can go. When you move on from a coach like Harbaugh, it's obviously really big shoes to fill, but you also have a two-time MVP at quarterback, and it is extremely rare in the NFL that a job opens up with this much quarterback security and this much quarterback talent as it's currently open in Baltimore. And so it's going to be the top job on a lot of guys' lists. They're going to do, I hope, a pretty wide search, bring about some different philosophies, some new thoughts, and then they'll make a decision from there. And so which way they go, I could hardly tell you, but here they are.
Well, who would you like to see them get, Ben?
I do find myself right now wanting Brian Flores more than anybody else. I think Flores has deserved a job for the last like 2 years at this point. I know the first and obvious knock against him is how poorly things ended in Miami, how he lost the locker room, some of the fractured relationships. But one, I think that a lot more of that information has gotten out because of the nature of how he left. He's got the lawsuit against the NFL. Stephen Ross kind of burned those bridges. I think NFL fans would be surprised how many other guys have had that impression on their staffs and on their locker rooms before and then have learned how to do a better job. And so if we sit here from the outside and say, I've heard all these things about how Brian Flores was so nasty to Tua and he was so tough to work with, I would say more NFL coaches than you realize have that sort of a reputation and yet continue to find jobs in winning ways. And so there's that aspect to it. I think Flores has grown from that interpersonal aspect of the job. And then there's the scheme aspect of it, which, like, I don't need to tell Ravens fans about that game that Lamar played against Miami back in the day, right? I mean, like, this guy has a special ability to create defensive stops out of insufficient talent, and especially against elite offenses and elite quarterbacks, right? Like, he is a system unto himself, a success unto himself on the defensive side of the ball. And with Lamar on the offensive side of the ball, you kind of already have a system to yourself in terms of the design running game and what he can do. And so Flores and Lamar together, to me, is a team that can quite quickly become a Super Bowl contender.
So Flores, of the guys currently in the league who've been a head coach before, he would be number two on my list. But because of the Belichick factor, right, that coaching family tree, the way it hasn't worked, guys say, I'm going to change. I learned from being a tyrant the first time. Then, you know, McDaniels didn't and Patricia didn't. I prefer Steve Spagnuolo. What do you think about that? They had Harbs was going to be 63. So 63, 65 or whatever, not a big difference. He's got special sauce. He's shut Lamar down. He's got he's been practicing against Andy Reid forever, so he knows that. He's Andy Reid family tree. Harbs was Andy Reid family tree. Coached in Philadelphia, coached in New York, understands cold weather, could fit in this division. What do you think of that?
I think it's a great hire. I think that Spags has been a guy who I would have liked to have seen on the head coaching interview list and getting a job over the last couple of years. Spags gets the defensive coach discount, right? People tend to like to hire offensive coaches over defensive coaches. And he also gets the old guy discount. If you're going to hire a defensive coach, people like these young up-and-comers, they like the Mike McDonalds and the Brian Floreses of the world, right? These young and innovators who are doing new things. But I agree with you that I think Spags, culture-wise, would be extremely good. He's been around a lot of winning teams in a lot of different environments before. And I do think defensively, schematically, he's one of the top guys that you have. Whenever you have a guy like that in Spags who has been so successful as a defensive coordinator, and this is also true of Flores to a degree, you do wonder the degree to which, all right, how are they going to take on the additional head coaching responsibilities? Are they going to call their defense, so on and so forth? Because defense does require a little bit more in terms of, like, week over week game planning and adjusting what you're doing to your opponent, such that it starts to fill the calendar Monday to Saturday when you're planning week over week in the NFL season. So that is the, like, I think that's a legitimate challenge for some of these defensive guys. You would want to ask Spags why the defense has been so good when you're coordinating and not as good when you're the head coach, right? Jim Schwartz in Cleveland, another guy you can talk to about this. And so there's that concern, but in general, I think Spags is a great hire, would be a good guy to bring in and talk to.
Talking with Ben Solak, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Ben, let's go to the roster that the Ravens currently have. And all offseason, we had heard that this was the best roster in the NFL. And we get to the actual football games, and at the end of the season, it looks far from the best roster in the NFL. And there, we were just talking about the fact there's a lot of concerns on both sides of the ball. What do you think of the roster construction?
Yeah, it's tricky because from an umbrella view, you should try to build your team the way the Ravens have tried to build their team. You should try to draft and develop. You should get, you know, a fourth-round pick in Isaiah Likely and find a role for that guy. You should bring, you know, your guards along, your Andrew Voorhees and your Daniel Falele. It's like, this is Roger Rosengarten, second round. Oh, you know, Teddy Buchanan, fourth round. This is how you should do it. This is how you should try to do it. Unfortunately, drafting is really hard. And even when you draft right, development is then really hard. And you've experienced, I think, a little bit more missing from Eric DaCosta than we saw, you know, at the end of the Ozzie Newsome era into the beginning of the DaCosta era. And then I think you've seen a real halt in development, right? And I think that's where you could talk to maybe some of the coaching issues, defense is out of the ball, how much does it fall on Harbaugh? But in general, you're getting guys into the building, Odafe Owe, Nate Wiggins, Zay Flowers, Isaiah Likely, who walk in, they produce. There's clearly something there, but it doesn't feel like they're taking big leaps, right? And from year two to year three, year one to year two, look at this dramatic improvement in these players. And accordingly, when you have a roster's got some star talent on it, you have a Lamar Jackson, you have a Kyle Hamilton, you have a Nnamdi Madubuike before he was injured, right? And you say, okay, these are our stars. Now for our second tier and our third tier, we need young players to step up into these roles and to fill these jobs with, you know, for pennies on the dollar while we're giving these big contracts out to Lamar and so on and so forth. You just didn't see that in Baltimore. Just after the star talent, the roster falls off really precipitously. And there's two ways to go about it. The first way is draft and develop, right? Get a little bit better, get a little bit luckier with your picks. But the second way is being more aggressive in free agency. And you would really hope that the Ravens, seeing what they have here on Lamar Jackson, understanding that this is an elite NFL quarterback, two-time MVP, but he's turning 29, he relies a lot on his legs. Like, we're not going to have another 10, 15 years of this. He's not going to be like a Tom Brady, Peyton Manning sort of a guy as he ages. Let's be aggressive now. You would hope that they spend more money in veteran free agency. You hope that they bring in guys who can immediately plug and play some of those holes for them. I'm not sure they will, but that would be my approach.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
With you 100%. And I also think the pendulum has to swing back the other way. I've said this for a while. They invest so much into their secondary, more than any other team in football when you look at the cornerback position, safety position, draft capital, cash. But the edge position has just been neglected for years. They haven't paid anybody since Terrell Suggs walked out the door. How much change in how they view that position needs to take place?
Some, for sure. I do think that when you had the Mike McDonald moment there in Baltimore, one of the things about McDonald that was so incredible was the ability to fit the run out of too high, the ability to manufacture pressure with that elite edge presence, right? Which, when you have a dude who can allow you to cheese a position like that, he becomes extremely valuable, right? Like, let's talk about the Shanahan offensive guys. Mm-hmm. What do? They get you elite offense without elite quarterback play. The ability to cheese that one spot provides so much roster value you can then put into other positions, right? And so McDonald gave them, I think, a little bit of license defensively, system-wise, to have an elite defensive unit by investing more in the secondary and being able to save money as a defensive line position. Now, he gets out of the building. You have a bunch of guys on the defensive staff. You choose to promote Zach Orr. Anthony Weaver gets out of the building, right? Denard Wilson gets out of the building. And all of a sudden, just kind of the defensive coaching well dries up a little bit, and you don't have that same import. And now that edge play really starts to matter. You start to feel that. In the NFL, just like a fundamental truth, is that you can run whatever scheme you want. You can be designed however you like. if you can't win in the trenches, you lose in January. You just do, right? And so even if you want to stay in that defensive philosophy, and even if you believe in a pass-first league, living in too high and winning from the back to the front, I think that is good, sound philosophy. I wouldn't mind if they stayed believing in that. But you still have to invest more in the defensive line. You do, because just the simple truth of football is that if you lose in the trenches, you lose in January. That's how it goes.
I feel like you also need to be big, and you need to be strong and healthy. And they seem to be so inclined to lean into a smaller guy. There's value there. You know, there's a hurt guy. There's value there. We can wait. Even in this last draft, it's a generational draft potentially. Evaluators who know their stuff have been telling me for years, that's the draft to take a D lineman. There's a big starting D lineman in every round. They wait till the end and take a little D lineman who maybe can't play in the league. He definitely ain't starting anywhere. Like, I feel like that part of their philosophy is also flawed. You're Super Bowl or bust. Your quarterback's going to be 30. A redshirt Ajabo, you know what I mean? Bateman comes in with a foot issue. He's a medical reject for some teams. Let's take him in the first round. Our doctors are better than theirs. I feel like that there's something askew with them looking for value where, to me, they need blue chip.
Yeah, now what's tricky is you let the pendulum swing to the other side. You be as big of a defense as possible, be as physical of a defense as possible, so that way you stay healthier. That's how you become the Detroit Lions. And they've been super hurt over the last couple of years, right? Because they play such a physical style of football, and also because a lot of injury is luck, right? A lot of injury, it just is the way that these chips fall. And so it's always, you want to settle the pendulum somewhere around an equilibrium. You never want to swing too far in the other direction. I do think that, like, for the way that they want to play with the lighter boxes, they have some guys who are some hitters, right? Like, if you think about the way that Malachi Starks and Adarius Washington have played that position for the last couple of years, beyond even just Kyle, if you look at the linebacker play and what you've got there to Teddy Buchanan, I think they know that, okay, if we're going to be a smaller group, we're going to need to have good tacklers in the second level. The one spot where I think they got to be more serious about the size is that edge spot, right? Where when you go Odafe Owe into Adisa Isaac, into David Ojabo, into Mike Green, okay, I get it. You want pass rush presence. Everyone's pass rush presence. These guys get moved off the ball in the running game. Right? And you've seen that been an issue in the AFC playoffs for a while now.
Ben Solak's an NFL analyst at ESPN. Ben, this was great. Thank you so much for your time, man.
Appreciate you guys. Y'all take care now.
Yep. Coming up next, we talked about the issues on the offensive side of the ball. But coming up next, what about on the defensive side of the ball? What is there to like on defense? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.